least you know that a church in the Woodlands for Easter has Dog the Bounty Hunter coming on Easter.
No.
Yes.
It's not our church.
It's not us.
I hate to break
so
your heart.
So we won't be here on Sunday morning. We will be wherever that is. We have to go, right?
No. Go see Dog.
You do not.
I mean, that's crazy. Like, that is.
Why? Yes. Why?
Yeah, like, that is the least related to Easter thing I could think of. And so I feel compelled that we should go just witness this.
In our staff that I threw out some
alternatives.
People we should go get.
Right. Yeah.
Some other early reality TV stars.
Yeah. Who are no longer.
Yeah, who? Flava Flav?
Honey Boo Boo.
Honey Boo Boo.
Was Flava Flav reality TV?
He had Flavorful of Love.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right. Yep.
Snooki.
Yep. Snooki, yes.
Which I'm still convinced is a Girl Scout cookie.
What about a Pawn Stars guy?
Oh, sure. One of the Pawn Stars.
One of those dudes.
Storage Wars.
Yeah.
A Storage Wars. A Duck Dynasty.
Sister Wives.
They're kind of Christian-y, right?
They're not.
Probably not our kind of Christian-y. All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff. With me as always, Pastor Dave Bowser.
How are we doing, Patrick?
And Elise McCarter.
Still here. Still pretty successful.
All right.
I forgot we hadn't started yet.
Yeah, I was really just going with it. Yeah.
Yeah, we just talking. We just talking.
Vibing. Yeah. That's what the kids do these days.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got a murder mystery party coming up.
Yes.
A 90s murder mystery party that we're all going to.
In our wheelhouse.
Yeah. So that'll be exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll keep you posted.
Will we?
On who, if any of us is the murderer or murderee.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah.
We'll let you know. Yeah.
But it'll be a couple weeks. It'll be a ways.
Yeah. I think we're 2 weeks away.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Oh, I do have an update.
Okay.
On
because
what?
Last week on the podcast, we mentioned the dog that was in my backyard.
The dog has safely
found its way home. Not my home. The dog is safely in the dog's original home. So.
Should we congratulate you? Should we give you condolences?
You should congratulate the dog on being reunited with their family.
Yes. I feel like you really...
I don't need anything else.
Wiggled your way out of this one somehow.
By giving the dog back to its family.
This sounds like you took the dog into the woods and let it go and be like, good news, Sophia.
Right.
He went home.
That is not
he
what
He went
happened.
To doggy heaven.
I did not say, no.
The doggy's with Jesus.
The dog was very sweet, and the dog is reunited with her owners. Vanilla was the dog's real name.
Vanilla. Yeah.
Vanilla.
No, not Penny.
Not Penny.
Yeah. Okay. Has this kind of greased the gears for a dog in the future for you, do you think?
For Sophia, sure. Yeah.
Right. And absolutely. And Amanda, which means, yes, it's incoming. We'll it's see. On your horizons.
Yeah.
There are many, many horizons.
I also want to mention, we had a request for a topic
that
we are going to cover,
yes.
But just not today.
Right.
We want to make sure we do it well.
Yeah.
Yep.
Go ahead on church trauma. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So thank you to Tiffany for that suggestion.
Yeah.
Yeah. But not today.
Not today.
If you were listening, Tiffany, waiting for church trauma, here's a little more.
It's coming.
Listen, if you're waiting for church trauma, we can recommend some places.
Right. Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Certainly an option.
Right.
Is he still? I mean, obviously that show's over, right?
I thought.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good for Dog doing his thing.
Is it
going to churches?
Is
on
it
Easter.
Good for anybody?
How did he transition into like the church speaking circuit?
Maybe he's always been in that circuit.
Yeah. Right.
But on Easter,
maybe bounty hunting was a side gig.
All right, I got some news for us.
His ministry.
Biologist antagonized ants and found out they can hold grudges.
Oh, excellent.
Seems like this biologist had it coming.
Right. Well, how did he antagonize the ants?
And how did they hold a grudge?
Right.
Does he just yell at them like insults?
Yeah. Right.
You're so small.
Right.
Look at you.
Okay. It's known as the nasty neighbor effect. And for till now, researchers weren't sure why it exists.
I could have told you.
My neighbors are jerks. Not me, though.
What is the nasty neighbor effect?
Okay. That ants can behave more aggressively toward neighboring colonies, but less likely to behave aggressively towards unfamiliar colonies.
Oh.
So colonies that are close, they're more likely to be aggressive with than colonies that are far away.
Yeah.
Okay. All
so right. Familiarity breeds contempt.
Sure.
Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. They need high walls make good neighbors or something.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Robert
Fences.
Frost.
Sure.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
So, all right. We often have the idea that insects function like pre-programmed robots. This guy's in Germany, so I'm not going to pretend to not pronounce his name.
Come on. Give it a shot.
Volker Nehring.
Yeah.
Great. Nailed it.
Our study provides new evidence that, on the contrary, ants also learn from their experience and can hold a grudge.
Okay.
Cool.
Here's how they did.
They're basically humans. I mean, that's what we do. We can.
Yeah.
They put ants in their own little in their own little room and had like a little nest mate.
Okay.
And then they put in like a new nest mate from another colony for a minute.
Okay.
And then took him out. And then after doing that several times, they found that the ants were more aggressive towards the new nest mates.
Like not the old nest mates?
Not their people that they're familiar with.
So you have two ants that know each other.
Yeah, they take one away.
You take one away.
And you add in a nest mate.
Okay.
A new foreign nest mate.
Okay. Sure.
And then they become more aggressive toward one another.
Toward the foreign nest mate.
Correct.
Okay. I don't get it, but sure, that's
is
fine.
Is that a grudge?
Or is that just me like, I don't like new people.
Right. Yeah. Like, not this again.
I get it, yeah. Like, having a roommate sucks.
Right.
I knew this from the start, but at least I knew my first roommate.
Yeah. Right.
Then it was like, I'm an independent.
Ooh.
Oh, jeez.
I-N-D-E-P-E-N-D-A-N-T.
Yes. Yes, I'm not here to make... you know, friends with my roommates here. Did you have a bad roommate in college?
I was pretty
on blast.
Yeah. No, I only had one true roommate, and then we had suite mates for the rest of the year, where we all had our own solo rooms that opened into a common space.
Privileged,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so I, you know, but my roommate and I, we had become best friends, but we were fine.
Yeah.
I feel like, at least in my experience, most guys had less like were more able to just like do their own thing and ignore one another.
Sure.
And when there was roommate drama, at least in my college experience, it was with women who were whatever. Yeah, I don't know.
Yep. Common.
Yeah. I could just ignore them. I was like, that's fine. You do your weird thing.
Especially when you have your own room.
Well, I mean, yeah, then it was, yeah that was easy. But
yeah,
even when I had the roommate that we were sharing a space.
Well, one of my roommates, he could not wake up to his alarm clock.
Oh,
let me tell you, that's a bad roommate.
That's
already.
Not good.
Like,
yeah.
And so he had like an old alarm clock that would like beep and buzz, but it was also broken, so
love
it would pick
that
up a radio station.
Excellent.
But not well. So it was beeping. It had a radio with like static on top of it.
No, that's awful.
Yeah, this was a pre like your cell phone is your alarm clock.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, and he would hit snooze 5 times.
Love that for you.
The worst, right? Yeah, like, that's so terrible.
Awful.
This is probably what the ants are doing, I assume.
Yeah.
This is an ant that's doing that. This is an ant that won't clean the microwave.
They're only together for a minute at a time.
Dude, ants have a lot to do in that minute, okay?
They're living faster than we are.
That's true. I mean, their whole life is like 24 hours or something.
Yeah, so like, they got a lot going on in that 1 minute. Yeah, this ant is definitely leaving a bunch of, you know, discarded food in the sink.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, not washing off their dishes, just you know. It's, you know, I can definitely feel like there's some bad ant roommate drama here.
Sure, I get that.
What have we learned? That ants
absolutely
hate their neighbors.
Yeah, absolutely nothing. That's what we've learned.
They like some of their neighbors.
They like their distant neighbors, not their close neighbors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they like the people who are part of their family. Like their colony.
Yeah.
They're good with their colony.
Yeah.
We like our family.
It just seems like maybe prejudice seems more, you know,
genetically.
Yeah.
Yes.
For all of us.
Right.
That's maybe not
even
great.
Even the ants are prejudiced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But only against people close to them. So we just have to be mad at Louisianians.
Because they're not Texans, but they're nearby enough that we can. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine.
We don't have to keep
eating. I can swallow just like being ticked off at everybody from Louisiana.
Yeah. We can do that, right?
I already kind of am. Yeah,
right?
So.
Honestly, you know.
Seems like an easy hurdle to get over.
Yeah, who we got? Louisiana, Oklahoma, New Mexico. New Mexico's pretty far away.
Yeah.
So
let's go Oklahoma. Let's just be ticked off at Oklahoma.
That's also
I love
fun.
It.
That's
Louisiana
fun
has
to me.
Good food. What is Oklahoma bringing to the table?
That cool shape. They're like a finger that's pointing out to the Rocky Mountains.
Some
great.
Go that way.
Some lame musical that middle school kids do.
Right.
Oklahoma is a great musical.
Mm.
Oh.
For its time, it is a great musical.
Okay. Sure it is.
I mean, it's not great when middle school kids do it. But
right.
Nobody else does it.
Right.
Lots of other people do it.
When is it great?
Oh, good Lord.
I'm saying the Hobby Center is not having Oklahoma as part of its, you know,
I would be interested to see when the last time Oklahoma toured. I bet it's more recent than you think.
The state or the musical?
The musical.
They have tornadoes, probably.
Yeah. They do. They have lots of tornadoes.
So pieces of it tour on the regular.
Really? We're coming at them with tornado jokes?
Yeah, sure.
On blast, Oklahoma.
All right.
All right. Let's get to our main topic here from Relevant. how Christians accidentally became the biggest defenders of misinformation.
Whoopsie.
Our bad.
Yeah.
by Ellen Hayes.
All right, Ellen, what you got for us?
I'll kick her off with her words here. Spend 5 minutes on social media and you'll see it. A distant relative posts a cryptic meme about microchips and the mark of the beast.
Sure.
An old church friend confidently declares that Snopes is fake news while linking to an anonymous blog as proof.
Love it.
It's not just few outliers. Study after study confirms that Christians, particularly evangelicals, are more likely than most to engage with and spread misinformation.
Okay. Sometimes not so distant relatives, depending on the situation.
Yeah.
Very close aunts. Real close.
Depends on whether you're from the South or not, I think.
There are crazy people in all parts of the United States. Yeah, that's
fair. Sure. That's fair. All right. So misinformation.
Mm-hmm.
One, do you think Christians accidentally became the biggest defenders of misinformation?
I think there's definitely evidence to suggest that we are purporting and promoting a lot of misinformation currently. I don't know for the.
I
don't know what the marker is, but we're definitely a part of it.
My question lies more on the accidental. I'm more skeptical about that.
Maybe intentionally became.
Yeah.
Or maybe at, if you want to say differently, like victims of misinformation,
Yeah, I think
or maybe willful victims.
I think willful victims is fair. I think that is a helpful point, though, right? Because within the evangelical or other church movements, right, that doesn't seem to be the place from which the misinformation originates. But we seem to have no problem pushing it out and just taking it and running with it, mm-hmm. as long as it aligns with whatever we want to already believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, she cites a 2021 American Enterprise Institute study found that white evangelicals were the most likely religious group to believe conspiracy theories like QAnon. And a 2019 Pew research study showed that frequent churchgoers were significantly more likely to share false or misleading stories on Facebook.
Love it. Love that for us.
I know. It's one of those unflattering statistics that I want to argue with misinformation. Like, no, we're not.
Yeah, I don't do it, so it must not be true.
Right.
Yeah, she says it's not. The answer isn't simple, but it's not a mystery either.
Mm.
It's not that Christians want to be misled. Maybe it's that certain habits, biases, and cultural instincts have made them especially vulnerable. And the more the church leans into misinformation, the harder it becomes to have meaningful conversations about actual truth. And that credibility gap is already pushing younger generations away.
So let me start with, do Christians want to be misled? Because I think that's a reasonable, you both reacted to that in her statement. Do we think that some Christians want to be misled? And if so, what does that look like?
Oh, want to be misled. I don't know about that. So I think that there are people in different organizations that want to mislead.
Sure.
And I think that is more what I'm reacting to than people wanting to be misled. I do think that there's some sort of cultural context for Christians that, like, the world is out to get you and the devil is always manipulating you. So you can't trust what somebody says to you that's not your pastor of your denomination.
And you can't trust anything that doesn't align with what you already believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That seems to be, that for me is like where it's like, I'm willing to be misled, and you might not say I'm willing to be misled, but as long as it aligns with what I already believe, that's what I want to hear.
Right, which is wildly problematic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we already, all of us, go to news sources probably for affirmation and not just information at this point.
Yeah.
Like,
sure,
we want my worldview to be affirmed, and the people I don't like to be vilified, and the people I like to be praised, and we're all going to naturally seek out news sources that kind of do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And some news sources do that subtly, and some do it blatantly, and maybe even kind of admit it. I mean, Fox News has gone to court and kind of said hey, all the things we put out there, or most of the things we put out there under the banner of news, is actually entertainment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
it's,
that means
it's not meant
how
to
about
be taken
that?
As true. Yeah.
And that means we can say whatever we want because it's not news.
Right.
Under the
banner of news.
On Fox News.
Yeah.
Fox News. Yeah.
With a news alert banner at the bottom.
Right.
And that's how they've gotten around being sued or, mm-hmm. or being held to a standard like this. Now, I'm not saying like the New York Times or CNN or MSNBC hasn't ever misled
sure.
or lied
right.
or
yeah.
done those things.
Absolutely.
I'm sure they have. And I'm sure if you're a listener who thinks that they lie and do those things, you could find sources where they have.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And we agree with you.
Yeah. And I'm not here to dispute that. I think there are plenty of times where, you know, if you're a Donald Trump disliker, mm-hmm. you know, he has said something that a fraction of a quote, you know, gets picked up mm-hmm. and spread like wildfire. And then you realize when you read the actual in context, it's not quite as inflammatory or yeah. as silly or ridiculous
right.
as it originally sounded. But if you think like he's a buffoon, you want to find things that reinforce
mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah.
Same thing if you think Biden was an old senile old man who can't mm-hmm. do anything right. You want to find things that reinforce that
yep.
and dwell on that and not a thing that necessarily challenges that.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think it's so when we think when Elise and I gave a little do they want to be misled? I think they want to be affirmed.
Yeah. Mm.
And if that affirmation is misleading, that's okay.
Yeah.
And because affirmation matters more than truth.
That's fair. I think that is actually really helpful at getting at why Christians in particular may be susceptible to this, right?
Yeah.
Because I think we do, as people of faith, we want our faith to be affirmed, right? We
yeah.
want to see evidence that our faith is not in vain, that our faith is valuable and meaningful and carries a weight in the world. And so we are looking for affirmation of our beliefs. And if we're able to have affirmation of our belief in the things of the world, that kind of transitive property gives us affirmation for the things that are not of this world.
All right.
Sorry.
Right. Elise has had a moment.
A bug or something.
Ooh.
An ant?
Yeah, probably. A vengeful
probably mad
one.
At you. Yeah.
Just, one ant's okay. You don't want to swallow two rival
right.
ants.
Because then they're
right.
going to fight.
And then they're going to fight inside you.
Yeah.
And that's, there are two ants inside me.
Yeah.
Which one wins?
The one you feed. Yeah. Or the one you don't take off.
All right. We got some headlines here. Headers
okay.
here for her section. So
yeah.
The deep distrust problem.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Evangelicalism has always had a complicated relationship with authority. The same culture that champions personal faith and direct access to God has also fostered deep suspicions of secular institutions. And many Christians have been raised to believe in mainstream media, public schools, and Hollywood are actively working against their beliefs.
Yes.
Yeah, I think this is, you know, the first step. It's like, mm-hmm. I don't trust anything out there. And so when it says my worldview is wrong, well, I automatically just do not trust it.
Right.
So, and as Americans, you know, and this isn't just evangelicals, across the board have much more deep distrust of our classic institutions,
sure,
including church. So, yeah. yeah.
Well, and it's not just that I don't trust anything. It's I don't trust anything that disagrees with my worldview, right?
Right.
So as soon as a position arises that affirms my worldview, I'm all in, right? That,
yeah.
I mean, I think that's where we're finding with kind of the rise and fall-ish of QAnon stuff and, you know, other conspiracy theories that have come out in support of President Trump and other ways, right? As long as it supports my worldview, I'm in. And,
yeah.
and that's the only truth.
I think being skeptical across the board is less problematic than being selectively skeptical.
Sure.
Like, I think it's fine to have a complicated relationship with authority. I think we should question more authority, honestly.
Yeah.
I do not think that we should question all authority besides the authority that we happen to have at that time.
Right.
You know, like that is where I think kind of that problem arises of like, I'm going to listen to whatever one person tells me or one group tells me,
mm-hmm.
or even just a narrow group tells me, and everything else has to be wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is, you know, people out there who would basically say like the New York Times is actively misleading and lying. And that's why I trust EaglePatriot.com news, you know, like
America One Network.
Yeah. Like something that obviously has no journalistic standards
right.
or
yeah.
no history of a journalistic standard. And you know, like, and so like, but it sounds what I want.
Yeah.
And so like, yeah, it has the New York Times again. Could you cite things that they've done that have been intentionally misleading?
Probably.
Almost, mm-hmm. yeah, certainly. But that does not mean embrace the unverified hidden truths of something that sounds ridiculous. Like when you just look at like the website itself, it just sounds ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. But it's telling you what you want to hear. You know, like Jake will reference like mainstream media says, hey, debunks a popular claim out there of Christian, you know, persecution. Like, here's how Christians are being persecuted. This happens. And like, actually, that's not really happening. That's cover up.
Yeah.
Here's a TikToker busting the seams right wide open with no proof at all of this is how Christians are being persecuted in our world. Trust me. You go to Home Depot and you say Merry Christmas. They don't let you do that there. And they're like, that's 100% true.
They'll kick you out of the store if you say Merry Christmas in Home Depot.
That's they're like, that's definitely happening. You know, that's 100% true. You know, and here's a person being escorted out of Home Depot with no context or anything like that.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's obviously what's happening.
Yep.
Yeah. You know?
It's the only possible scenario.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like, yeah, this is, here's a Christian. They were preaching on the street and the cops told them to stop. And then if you actually looked into it, they were saying like, you know, things were just not appropriate for the street. And it wasn't that they were a Christian. They were saying things that are not appropriate through the Christian lens. And you're like, well, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, I think mistrust is not necessarily bad, but when it is that I put mistrust on everything except the things that reinforce my worldview and then I trust completely, that's bad.
Yeah. Hear that.
Yeah. All right. Next, why fear wins. Misinformation spreads because it plays on emotion. And for many Christians, emotions have long been tied to belief. Modern Christian culture is built around urgency, the idea that the world is changing fast, faith is under attack, and believers need to stay vigilant. Many have been raised on sermons warning about the end times, culture wars, and the danger of secular influence. All right. What do we think?
Yeah. And I think, you know, fear is a real thing. When we look at the, people who study this, it's not just the amount of change, but it's the rate at which things change, the speed with which things change. And so if you look at how long it took us to move from like using a club to using a bow and arrow to using a crossbow to using a gun to using nuclear weapons, right? Like the rate of change accelerated dramatically in that period of time. And so, even more so when you think about like the technology. Somebody was just talking about this the other day, that we had like no way to communicate long distance at all. And then from like the late 1800s to now, we can communicate instantaneously with billions of people in a moment, right? Like, so like millions of years, zero ability to communicate outside of shouting. And then suddenly we can like call in. And so that rate of change is really dramatic and is really worthy of our attention, because it is affecting our bodies, and I would say it's affecting our spiritual selves in a real way. It's not a reason to distrust and throw the whole thing out, right? Or to turn a blind eye to reality, but it is a real thing to be afraid of, to feel that fear and to feel that anxiousness.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's a great point, that how quickly have things come. You know, the moon landing was done by computers bigger than the room we're in, and they still had to hand check if the computers were right.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
And sometimes they weren't.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
And now in
your
my currently in my
it.
Hand,
yeah.
I have a more powerful, you know, instrument than they could conceive of.
Yeah.
I
have a better microphone sitting in front of me than they had to like call, you know, to the Earth from the,
the
space shuttle. Right.
Yeah.
And this one was like $40.
Yeah,
it was not like, you know, I know it feels that way, but the Beyond Sunday podcast studio is not as technologically advanced as we make it seem. Yeah.
Not so high end as
but
you
it
might
is
think.
Better than the Apollo 11 lunar lander. So
for sure,
that, yeah,
more advanced than that.
Yeah,
yeah, and I think too, like this, we're living in the end times. Everything is a sign that Jesus is coming and Satan is out and the Antichrist is on the rise out to get you. Like, then you're going to be looking for that.
Yeah.
And then fear is going to kind of get in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, misinformation, it's not necessarily about logic. It's about outrage, right? Like,
absolutely.
It's about like what makes me angry right now. And I want to be angry.
Yeah.
Like, that's the hardest part. And maybe this is also why do Christians necessarily want to be misled? I think sometimes they just want to be angry.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going to find the thing that makes them angry. And if it's not true, well, it could be.
Or that agrees with their anger.
Right.
Yeah. Like, Joe Biden or Donald Trump didn't do that. Yeah, well, he could have.
Mm-hmm.
And then
that's good enough.
Yeah. And because he could have, in my mind, my anger is justifiable.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that that's kind of what we end up with. Yeah.
Either one of you watched Kunk on Earth?
I've seen some of it.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Don't even know.
So for those who don't know, it's like a fake history. It's like somebody doing a fake documentary of history, like a BBC thing. It's very funny. But she does a section about the rise of Christianity and Jesus. And she talks about how even people who didn't believe Jesus was the Son of God all believed and agreed that he preached tolerance and forgiveness, which is a message so important that his followers started to beat up people who didn't want to hear it. Which is, I mean, there's something there, right? Something to that, like, outrage that we've held since, you know, right after Jesus, right?
Well, since we took power, right? I think there's that first couple centuries when we were still an underground, largely illegal, sometimes martyred movement.
Yeah.
Where it seems like we held on pretty well. And then we got power. And we had an empire. And things escalated quickly, shall
we say.
All right, let's keep going.
Okay.
The problem with discernment, and she puts discernment in quotes.
Ooh. Zing.
Yeah.
Coming at the pastor with discernment in quotes.
Many Christians pride themselves on being discerning. And I was like, I think that. I've heard that from many a Christian. I'm a I have the gift of discernment.
Oh, yeah, your spiritual gift.
Nobody, no Christian I've ever heard been like, I'm a gullible idiot. I'll believe anything.
I'm a sheeple.
Like, nobody ever says, like, anything you say, I will trust and believe.
Yeah.
Trust me right now. Like, we're evidently says we're everybody says, you know, they're discerning. Maybe there's not as much proof about that, you know. Just too often, what passes for discernment is just confirmation bias in disguise. If a story aligns with the Christian worldview, it's trusted. If it challenges belief, it's dismissed.
Which is human nature, I think. Like, I don't know that this is particular to just Christians. I think what we also have is this culture that's been kind of baked in to, like, you shouldn't trust anything that comes from an opinion that is not explicitly Christian, and on top of that, usually explicitly evangelical or explicitly whatever branch of Christianity you come from.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there, that is specific, I think, to us.
Well, okay, so I'm going to say a meme that I've seen on the Facebook.
The best way to do a meme is to describe it via
words.
Yeah,
it's
just words. It's just words.
Oh, okay.
So,
it's called an expression.
Well, it thing that says, like, experts built the Titanic, amateurs built the Ark.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no.
And I think this
Look at that.
So I
God
think,
built the iceberg. Touche.
Well, I think this is part of this discernment is that sometimes we equate any skepticism of what any expert says from a public figure or our influencer on TikTok or Instagram or whatever is like, that's a wise thing to do.
Yeah.
Is to we have to question my doctor on vaccines, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
And if you're doing that, you're thinking for yourselves or you're doing your own research or all these things, which nobody's actually doing any of their own research.
Right.
And most of us don't even know how to do our own research.
Well, at least not to do it well. Yeah.
Right. We know how
some people are Googling
stuff. We know how
stuff,
to Google stuff.
Yeah.
That's not doing
that's
your
not
own
research.
Research.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And questioning, you know, the institutions is now seen as like just pure wisdom.
Yeah.
And so like that's part of our discernment. It's like we're just asking questions. But in reality, it's just reinforcing our belief that like we just don't trust experts or people who have dedicated their lives to a field.
Yeah.
And to think that like they're missing the most obvious solutions right in front of us because I saw it on Facebook.
Yeah. Particularly if those fields align out like have a rougher alignment with our faith, right? So when you're looking at fields of like medical research and science and things like that, where a lot of people in those fields might say, maybe the earth wasn't created in 6 days, the way that Genesis says, right? If they're coming from that perspective already, then you're automatically, for many, particularly in the evangelical realm, right?
Yeah.
You're like, they're out, right? If you can't get on board with the fact that the earth was created in 6 literal days and is only 6,000 years old, then I can't trust anything else you say. And unfortunately, we haven't had a lot of creationist scientists putting forth good vaccine research.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember, this was a few months ago now, Patrick, but you asked me, we were doing a poll of like how recently you realized that humans and dinosaurs did not coexist at the same time.
Okay. You did a poll of this?
I don't remember this, but okay.
Yeah, I was like, oh, embarrassingly recently is when like...
When you realized?
When I realized that, because it just wasn't... a thing. Like growing up, I was always in these more evangelical circles, right? And people were just like, yeah, we walked with dinosaurs.
Yeah.
The earth was made in a literal 6 days. Duh.
Yeah.
And sure. I just like never like.
I think that was our episode on dinosaurs.
Oh.
You know, like, right. Yeah. Where did we learn about these things in church? Because yeah, you know.
Yeah. I just like never circled back and was like, oh, they didn't coexist, right. You know? Like,
not even close, right?
Right? Like, not so. Even close. Like it was like
millions.
Maybe like a decade ago that I realized this. Okay. And I'm, you know, an adult like properly.
Yeah, but a decade ago you weren't.
I was, unfortunately, already.
Nah. All right, she's got two more, so let's pack.
Adulthood is a myth. That's all.
Do your own research. Adulthood is fake. It's also flat, not round.
Adulthood is flat?
Yeah.
I find that hard. I'm getting much more round than flat these days.
Anecdotal evidence.
The cost of getting it wrong.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's tempting to brush all of this as harmless. Who cares if someone shares a post about Starbucks hating Christians or Christmas?
Sure.
But misinformation doesn't just stay online. It shapes public perception, fuels division, and has real-world consequences. Then she says, look how misinformation shaped the COVID-19 pandemic.
Yeah.
Christians became the loudest voices, questioning vaccines, masks, and public health measures. Oh, I did see. Oh, this is going to make you angry.
Oh, boy.
Please bring up more.
A pastor in Texas celebrating.
Already mad.
Yeah. That the school that's connected to their church has the lowest vaccine rate in the state.
Oh.
Yeah, because what God wants is for all of us to put our children at greater risk,
right.
By not using the medical technology that is provided to us.
Mm-hmm.
That's what God wants for us, is for our children to be at greater risk of dying from preventable diseases.
Yeah,
that is what our loving and gracious and merciful God desires for us.
And the crazy thing is...
Oh, we're not to the crazy thing yet.
Well, I mean, I got this topic. Like, this isn't... Vaccines aren't that new.
No.
We are within still a generation that grew up without vaccines.
Yes.
And now are old. Like, they didn't, like, just die off, and this was, like, 200 years ago, and we don't really live through any of this. Like, and you can go to any, cemetery, and if you walk around and you see kind of, like, before the 50s, there are quite a lot. Of
young
child graves,
right. Like polio, smallpox, measles,
because of this, like
mumps, rubella,
like, and so
those,
like,
are the other ones that are in the vaccines. The only
MMR,
reason I
baby.
But like, yeah, and I mean, this isn't a vaccine podcast, but you know, like, but it's
about
just like,
me.
Yeah,
beyond the vaccines,
right?
But it's like these are not. We've seen it, like humanity has seen this firsthand, and I'm just like, I don't know.
Well, I think that to stay on the vaccine point just for a moment. But I think that we sometimes forget that God continues to work even through things that we don't understand, right? Like, God has always worked in this world. God has always worked through people to bring about good for people. And so, yeah, I do not understand the position that vaccines are... I can understand, like, you think vaccines are unsafe or whatever, but I can't understand the position of, like, these are of the devil or these are, like, promoting something outside of God. Like, this does not make sense to me as a pastor and as a person of faith, because God wants what is best for humanity. God has always wanted what is best for humanity. And what's best for humanity might just be fewer preventable diseases being, you know, rapidly communicated across Texas, probably in this guy's school. That's, yeah.
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 Yeah. She says younger generations, and I think all generations are watching all this unfold and aren't impressed.
Yeah.
The more they say Christians uncritically sharing falsehoods,
yep.
the harder it becomes to take the church seriously.
Yeah.
On any issue, much less faith, right? Yep. Like, if we're like, hey, Jesus is the truth, Starbucks hates Christmas.
Yes.
And they're like, that's just not true.
I mean, Starbucks might, I don't know, but it doesn't matter. Like,
who
cares if they hate Christmas?
Right. Like, you can love Christmas.
If your church hates Christmas, okay, then we have a conversation, right?
Right. Like, that's something to talk about and ponder. Right. Yeah.
But I think Christians don't care about facts. Why should we care what they have to say? You know, like, about real truth and spiritual issues, right? Like, and I think that this is where we're at. Like, if your neighbors see, you know, you post every meme, everything that comes across onto your social media, and then they're like, hey, you want to go to church with me? I mean, like, it isn't like for what? Yeah. like to be, to think those things, to mm-hmm. be in that same place that kind of like a willfully misled, you know, from my perspective, willfully misled. Why would I want that?
Yeah.
You know, that's just not something that's interesting. You know,
it's interesting. It's not helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not.
All right. Well, she asked the question. What needs to change?
Oh.
What do you think? What needs to change?
You know, I think...
Blow up the internet.
That's step one. Yeah. Blow it all back.
Or maybe at least all social media. Just get rid of it.
Yeah. I mean, that's not a bad thing, right? But I think the church could have a responsibility to help people actually think critically about the information mm-hmm. that they're receiving. And I think this is something that in the ELCA, we often lean too far the other way, right? We're just as guilty of not thinking critically about the stuff that we agree with. It's just that the stuff that we tend to agree with doesn't necessarily lead to conspiracy theories, right? and so, like, we all have a responsibility to be thinking critically. One of the things I love that we do here at Lord of Life is that we have a couple of Bible studies on Tuesdays with our pastors, and then sometimes on Saturdays, one of our men's breakfast. And the whole Bible study is just us reading the stories together and asking questions, right? Mm-hmm. Like, nobody brings, like, here's the thing we're going to learn about the story today. Here's the lesson God wants us to take away from it. It's all of us reading the story and hearing what is God saying to us in the midst of this. And self-correcting one another. Say, like, I don't know that I hear that. I don't know that I hear... But, like, giving space to have honest conversation about Scripture to say, I can think for myself about this, and also, I can be wrong about this, right? And having space to hear that, I think gives us groundwork on which to have that conversation more broadly. And we could be doing a better job of that in the church.
Yeah. I tend to think, for most things, I tend to think of it as like a fix it on the front end type thing. Like if we have this problem, right? And we have these people that feel very strongly about kind of their own particular worldview being
veganism. Got it.
To the vegans. Yeah. sacred and protecting themselves from outside opinions. Mm-hmm. Right. So if we want that to change, we have to change it on the front end. I think that the church does have a responsibility to not, I'm going to use the word indoctrinate, to not indoctrinate people into believing that anything that is not explicitly a Christian evangelical opinion is inherently evil or untrustworthy. Like, there are many facets to life that are not inherently spiritual, right? Like, there's maybe the scientists should talk about the science.
Yeah.
And, you know, the doctors should talk about the health and wellness, and that, you know, and that's, those things are not inherently biblical or Christian or not Christian or anything like that. And so, like, having that space and that saying, like, okay, it is okay and safe to listen to subject matter experts that are maybe not coming from the same exact place that you are. And that does not mean that you are giving yourself over to the devil or, you know, any of that. I think that that all has to change in the way that we approach spirituality, though, from the jump.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't know how to fix it.
I just told you. We gave you two.
I told you. Yeah. I got it. Do your own research.
Do your own sure. I mean, this is one of those things that kind of we see kind of playing out in real time. Like, we saw in like, teachers used to be the best parts of our community.
Yeah.
And now they are most distrusted with our children.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And in like 6 months, nurses went from the most trusted profession to bottom five because of COVID-19. Like, and these are not even like policymakers from, you know, in Washington. These are people on the front lines caring for patients, and society immediately was like, we do not trust you anymore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're saying something that I don't want to think is true.
Yeah.
And this vast conspiracy of nurses, come on, like, that's insane, right? Like, that's just a crazy thing to believe, that all the nurses got together and, like, we're going to lie about COVID. It's going to be so good. Trust me.
It'd be like, cool if some of us died to really, like...
Yeah, we're going to
really sell it.
Yeah, right. First we're going to be overworked and underpaid and put our lives on the line while people yell and hate us. Yeah. Like, it'll be so good.
It's going to be a great prank.
Yeah, oh, it's going to be so much fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
But to see that happen in, like, real time and to feel like, I don't know how to fix this. Like, yeah. I don't know how to stop this besides blowing up Facebook, right? Like, besides those things, maybe I feel like, or maybe it's kind of too late for us and we have to teach the younger generation, this is how to identify misinformation on social media.
Yeah.
And like to say, like, it's just over. Like, we all fell, like my generation and beyond fell for it. We believed everything we read on the internet. Mm-hmm. We've got to teach you how to do better.
Yeah.
And maybe that's just the solution. You know? But it is really sad and distressing for me to see that, you know, right now, a group of Christians, and I'm not even saying, you know, like the evangelicals are like, because it's easy to do this if you're like, again, somebody posts something about Donald Trump and like, I immediately believe it because it makes him look bad.
Yeah.
Or Elon Musk, and I immediately believe it because it makes him look bad. Like, I don't know what to do about that.
Yeah.
You know?
I will actually put in a small plug here. So there's a podcast called This American Life.
It's
a great podcast on NPR. And the host did an episode right before the election cycle called A Small Thing That Gives Me a Tiny Shred of Hope. Mm-hmm. Very optimistic. but it was about this reporting and news service that's relatively new. I think it's about 6 years old, called The Tangle.
Mm-hmm.
And it is about as nonpartisan as they come. And what it is that it's a daily email delivered to your inbox where they round up. It's about usually a specific topic that is the most relevant for that day, where they round up the arguments that the left is making and the arguments that the right is making. So you can see what both sides are kind of saying on each issue. And then they also have a section where the editors, who are longtime political journalists, give kind of their opinion about what is going on. And it's been kind of a fantastic source for me in particular. I've sent it to several people. It's free. There's a paid option as well. There's also a podcast if you prefer to listen instead of read. But it gives a really nicely balanced view of what everybody's actually saying about these things.
Yeah.
And what is, you know, to the best of journalistic ability, what is the actual truth about what is going on with these things?
Sure.
So if your goal is to be, you know, less biased, less partisan, not spread misinformation, not fall into that sort of echo chamber, it's a really great resource for that. It's called The Tangle. The head editor is Isaac Saul.
Yeah.
Okay.
In the This American Life episode, they had a couple who were on opposite sides of the political spectrum, and they started reading, and it basically was like what saved their relationship, is that they were able to read this and start to hear one another again. And start
It was a great episode.
It was a good one.
That sounds great. I think, finding... If your news sources are making you feel anger just by reading the headline, that's intentional.
Yeah.
Like, they're doing that on purpose, and they are using your anger to manipulate you.
If this podcast is making you angry, it's not intentional, and we're sorry.
If this podcast is making you angry, it's probably David.
And it's not intentional, and I am sorry.
I am intentionally trying to make you angry.
My voice just makes people angry.
No.
It's anger because he doesn't want a dog. I feel that anger.
I know.
Get out of here with that. Get out of here.
All right. There you go.
All right.
She doesn't have great suggestions on how to.
She doesn't know what to do.
I mean,
no. That's she kind of ends it. Honestly, I think we did better than she did.
I think so too.
Good work, team. Way to go. All right. Well, hey, if you enjoyed this episode, you can send us all your thoughts at beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com and find all of our episodes at beyondsundaypodcast.com.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.